Well, thank you for the introduction, and good morning, everyone. Today, I'll be talking a little bit about my one project of my dissertation research. So everybody knows that legumes are commonly incorporated into grass pastures to increase their nutritive value and forage yields. And this also can take an effect on reducing input costs for nitrogen fertilizer. However, many warm season grasses also require more nitrogen than can be provided by those legumes. For example, white clover typically fixes around a maximum of around 224 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, but that nitrogen is slowly mineralized into the soil and made slowly available to those grasses, and not all of that is going to get to those grasses, and we commonly apply up to 300 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare onto Bermuda grass. Our nitrogen application to make up for that on grass legume mixtures is really not recommended because it increases the grass competition with the legume species and can shade out the legumes, and also reduces the nitrogen fixation capability of the clover. There has been research shown that mixtures can tolerate in a sense of keeping clover content by applying low concentrations of applied nitrogen, usually about 50 to 150 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. With the development of enhanced efficiency fertilizers that either use urease inhibition or physically slow release of urea into the soil have the potential of allowing the slow release to apply immediate nitrogen to the grass species while allowing clover persistence. So with that, the goal of this project was to evaluate the potential of enhanced efficiency urea formulations and nitrogen rate on warm season mixed species forage systems, with the objectives of comparing the urea formulation and nitrogen rate in terms of seasonal forage yield, forage nutritive value, and white clover persistence. So we had two levels of treatments. The first, urea formulation, where we used a standard urea, used an environmentally smart nitrogen, or ESN, which is a polymer-coated product that releases the urea through controlled release. We used the turf-type methylene urea, which is a branched chain source, Super U, which is urea modified with agritane and diceanamide, and we also used a 75% ESN, 25% urea blend. Our second level was nitrogen rates, where we used zero, where we had grass and clover without nitrogen, 112, 224, and 448 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. We also had a control plot with just Bermuda grass without clover or nitrogen that did come in handy. And our treatments were applied equally twice throughout the growing season, usually around the beginning of May and the end of July, or in July. So our research was conducted at the University of Kentucky Spindletop Farm in Lexington, established on a Wrangler Bermuda grass pasture that was established in 2003 and was used as horse pasture, and Durana white clover that was established in the fall of 2013. We have evaluated the growth for the 2014 and 2015 growing seasons and plan to continue into the 2016 growing season. We used a randomized complete block design with four replications and used SAS 9.3 for our stats analysis, where we used year and harvest as for repeated measures analysis and used polynomial orthogonal contrast to determine fit of regression and used LSD for mean comparisons. Our plots were harvested to 6 centimeters, where our growing seasons range from May through October, usually harvesting on monthly intervals. We'd had four harvests in 2014 and three harvests in 2015. When we harvested, we took subsamples dried to determine the dry matter yield and ground to 1 millimeter to analyze nutritive value, where we determined crude protein and digestibility with NIRS, and we developed our NIRS equations with analytical methods of the Kildall method and ANCOM fiber bag method. To measure white clover persistence, we used the occupancy method, where we used 1 meter squared quadrats subdivided into 25 sections. And in each section, we determined whether they contained a majority of white clover, Bermuda grass, or weeds. And when we went out to the field at the beginning of the growing season and before each harvest, we used three quadrats per plot. Moving into our results, we saw for seasonal forage yield in 2014, no big shock, we saw a linear increase in forage yield with increasing nitrogen rates. However, in 2015, we saw a more slight increase across nitrogen rates due to drier weather conditions in the late season. Looking at our clover persistence, in our 2014, at the beginning of our 2014 growing season, we had the similar amounts of white clover in our plots, which, yay for us, that means we're doing something right. And by the end of our 2014 growing season, we did see an encroachment of volunteer white clover that increased our white clover counts, but we did see a decrease of white clover with increasing nitrogen rates. At the beginning of our 2015 growing season, we did see an initial jump in our white clover counts, but we did see a carryover effect of decreasing clover counts with increasing nitrogen rates. And by the end of our 2015 growing season, we did see that our control plots did get back down to the average 50% white clover and still remain decreasing with increased nitrogen rates. So looking at overall clover compositions, we saw that our enhanced efficiency products did maintain white clover composition similar to the control, and our urea did lower the white clover counts. However, it isn't fair to say that the enhanced efficiency products are maintaining that white clover because persistence, we'd rather have another growing season to determine true persistence of white clover. We have not analyzed the 2015 nutritive value data yet, but our 2014 crude protein. In our first harvest, we saw a slight increase in crude protein, mainly attributed to the amount of white clover in our plots to make it more consistent. In our second harvest, we saw we didn't see any effect from nitrogen rate. In our third harvest, after our second application of nitrogen, we saw a slight increase in crude protein. But during our fourth harvest, we saw a jump in crude protein that we are attributing to the encroachment of the white clover throughout the growing season. Looking at our digestibility data, we saw that our ESN did produce digestibility higher than the urea blend and Super U. However, it's more inconsistent and in conclusion, our enhanced efficiency products were capable of attaining productive yields while sustaining white clover populations. However, we believe more growing seasons are needed to evaluate persistence. Our rates greater than 112 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare did reduce clover populations, and we did have inconsistent improvements and nutritive value in 2014. We still need to evaluate our 2015 data. We believe that 2014 data may have been due to the encroachment of volunteer white clover. So we plan to continue into the 2016 to get a true test for white clover persistence over multiple growing seasons. So as you've heard me say, I say our research because it really is a group effort and we have a wonderful crew at the University of Kentucky. So I'd like to acknowledge my coworkers there. And with that, I'll take any questions. Yes, ma'am.
What was the clover cultivar
you planted? Juriana. Yes, sir.
Being with those high crude protein levels, did you all look at nitrates?
We have not looked at nitrates, but if they continue to be that high, that is something that we could look into. Yes.
What's the relative cost of these different nitrogen products?
Roughly, they're usually ranging 10 to 15% more than standard urea. So as we continue and have our third year of research to get a real good average of this data, I plan to look into doing an economic analysis.
Are there any other questions? If not, let's thank our speaker. Oh, wait, ma'am?
Yeah. Well, before we initiated this study and before the clover was planted in 2013, this was used as a horse pasture. And the guy who managed this pasture was on top, like really on top of managing everything. So this is a really high productive soil. And white clover is really natural in Kentucky. So no matter, even though we sprayed out those plots, by the end of our first year, we had 13% white clover encroachment, and by the end of the second year, we still had white clover in our control plots. Did I answer your question?
Sort of.
Okay.
Any final questions? If not, let's thank our speaker.